Doing good. Praise Yah. It's a glorious day today. Foggy, not foggy. It's still a glorious day. Still the day that He has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. We're still on the Torah portion 15, Bo. In Hebrew, the command, the form of come in, or go in Exodus 10, 1 through 13, 16. And the half Torah was Jeremiah 46, 13 through 28. And I was thinking about this week, thinking about Pharaoh and thinking about the hardened heart, Jehovah is wanting us to have a humble heart. And I was thinking about, he's not there to hurt anybody. He's not there to hurt us. He's to help us. He said, I'm not there to hurt you. I'm there to help you. And I was thinking about how the body works. We've done this study quite a few years ago with the DNA and with the way the body's structured, the way God made our bodies to function. And when something happens to our body, we get an illness or something happens to our body where it doesn't identify, it's something that's a threat to our body, our cells attack that. They go to work and start working on whatever it is that's identified as going to hurt or harm us. When we get cut, a blood clot starts to form, and all our body starts working. All the cells go to that spot and start working to fix whatever's being damaged, trying to fix and work on. And His Torah, His Word, is the same way. It identifies with something that's a threat against eternal life. Yehovah is eternal life. He's a life giver. And if it's something that threatens life, it comes against us. So it's like a two-edged sword, but it's got two sides of it. It's got one side that'll be for you, and you got one side that'll be against you. For the children of Israel, when they was obeying the commandments, they had light. They had everything taken care of. They was protected and shielded because it was for life. But for Pharaoh, every time he came against it, he was calling himself God, and all of his gods came against him because it was a threat to life. It's a threat to life. It's not what he created. It's not his doings. It was coming against everything that he says and does. Yehovah is the one who created everything. We didn't create ourselves. He created us. And so I was just thinking about that, how the body does that. And he said, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. My plans are for you. They're to help you. And I think about that sometimes. Many a times the Torah really should have destroyed us for our sins. But it's like Yehovah's mercy blocks the destruction and just holds it and holds it. And like he was trying, he said, I try and I try and I try. And it just won't listen. And he'll keep trying and trying until it just comes to the point to where he knows. We don't know, but he knows when a person comes to a point where they're just not going to change. Maybe Pharaoh's to a point he's just not going to change. And he already made that decision. Remember, Yehovah is the judge. He judges all the situations. And when he gets to that point, he's going to decide. He just decides, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. I thought about the grasshoppers, the locusts. They came in to do a cleansing. It's the same way. Talking about the locusts here and the scriptures here, and then you go to Revelations after seeing it right here, there's a cleansing period that's going to come. Yeshua is going to come, and the earth is going to be cleansed from anything that's coming against life. It's going to destroy it. And that's important to know, because if we're caught up in that trap too, guess who also is going to be destroyed? We will. We who disobey and continually reject His Torah, which is His life for us. Yeshua is the living Torah. He is the life source for us. He says, I'm the living water. I'm your life source. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. And so we just keep that in mind when we go over this Torah portion and everything to do with the hardening of the heart. His heart got harder and harder. We'll look in some of the slides where it's like a thorn. The more he pushed to go against, the more the thorns came in and just kept going against them because they were against life itself. There was consequences for refusing to a humble heart. A disobeying or obey or obedience. And I was thinking about the word kol again this week, voices. You got to be careful what voice you're listening to. There's many voices, and this world is full of deception and lies. If you don't know the word, if we don't know the word well, we can have a thought come, And it could take us away immediately, quickly, if we're not paying attention. There's a couple of words we're going to go through tonight in word study and language, as well as the history and the context. Well, I want to go over a little bit of thinking about some voices right now. I read something this week, and it stuck out really good to me. You know, you read stuff, and it sticks out to you, but this stuck out to me. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the dead. You know, it says when a person dies and they're dead, it says they know nothing. There's nothing for them underneath the sun. They know nothing. Their memory is gone. It says they sleep. They're dead. They know nothing. They don't speak to us anymore. And that's what the scriptures say. But yet today, people say that you can still talk to the dead. But that's not what it says in Ecclesiastes. You got to be careful what voices you're listening to. There's lying spirits that started from the beginning in the garden. It started with Hasatan. It all began with Hasatan. It began with one lie. And that's the thing that we're up against right now. Truths and lies and the voices. And if you don't know the true voice, you're going to give in to a lie. Because Yeshua said to some of them that had the devil messing with them and speaking to him, he says, you like your father. You listen to your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And that's what he is. When you believe a lie, your soul is damned. The lie takes you away from life, and it'll destroy you. But in Ecclesiastes, you know, I looked at some of those scriptures, and it doesn't line up with some of the things that I read, what people in churches in general say today. But that's a different subject and a different topic. My point is, we're going to look at the words of the Master. In John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, and they know them, and they follow me. And I know them, and they follow me. I give them everlasting life, and they shall by no means ever perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. It just goes to show you how Hasatan has always copied everything God does. And even today, when you're doing the best that you can do, and you're learning, and you're striving to do what is right, and then ones that are with you come against you, it says right here in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false emissaries. We're talking about emissaries. There's going to be false emissaries. It says, for such are false emissaries, deceptive workers, masquerading as emissaries of Messiah. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as a messenger of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their own works. So there's voices going around when you say something, and another voice comes at you, another person being used by a certain voice, which is a lie, and calls us a devil, and calls us certain things. So you just got to know the scriptures and know it well, because that's what Yeshua, our Master, said you're going to be up against. You got to know it well, and you got to pay attention to listen to the right voice. In John 8:42-48, Yeshua said to them, if Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from Elohim and am here. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not know what I say? Because you're unable to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar, and he's the father of it. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Who of you proves me wrong concerning sin? And if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He was of Elohim, hears the words of Elohim. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of Elohim. And the Yehudim answered and said to him, do we not say well that you are a Shamaroni, and you have a demon? That's what they told him. He spoke the truth. He spoke of his father, and they said, he has a demon. And then there was a time that Kepha, Peter, he told Yeshua. And Yeshua said, "Get behind me, Satan." It was something that Peter was carrying with him that was a lie when he spoke it. It's something maybe he wasn't learned in yet, but he had to learn it along the way. But there's things that we say and we do that we're unlearned in that could be a lie when we speak it. There's things that we do that could be a lie. Because it twists or counterfeits what the Scripture actually really says. And that's why it's important to go back and read the Scriptures and read what it says and the truth on it. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 14, it says, "Put on the complete armor of Elohim for you to have power to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, against authorities, and against the world rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim so that you have power to withstand in the wicked day. And having done all to stand then, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now I want to go to Psalms chapter 119, verse 97. And it's in the Torah portion on one of the slides, 61. And since we first got this Torah portion, I come across this slide, and I've been stuck on this slide for quite a few days. And it's helped me throughout all my days this week off of one word, just one word. You see that word? Study. Psalms 119:97, "Oh, how I love your Torah. It is my study all the day long." And now I get curious to look up these Hebrew words. So I looked up this Hebrew word study, and I only found this Hebrew word three times in the Tanakh, this certain one. And the word is sikah. It's Strong's H5542. No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Let me go down a little ways. It's sikah. Strong's H7881, I'm sorry. It's Strong's H7881, sikah. Sakai. And it's meditation, reflection, and prayer. So when you say, "Oh, how I love your Torah, it is my meditation, it's my reflection, and it's also my prayer." When you say that, it's those three. When you're thinking about His Word, when you're reading His Word, it's my meditation all the day long. All the day long. And the letters are Shin, Chet, and He. And Sin is the teeth, sharp, and chew. And the Chet is a wall or a fence, a dividing. And He is to look or behold. So His Torah is my sikah, meditation, reflection, and prayer. His Torah is sikah, is to chew, tasting, dividing the right from the wrong as I look and behold Him as in a reflection. So when you're reading His Word, that's what you're doing. You're reflecting on Him, you're praying with Him, and you're meditating on what He's saying and dividing the right from the wrong. All the things and errors in my life I'm finding through His Word. He's correcting me. You need to correct this. Because it's damaging to you, you need to correct it, for this is your life. This is your life. And there's another word I put together with this one this week, because we have a baby that was born, and her name is Selah, right? Or do y'all say Selah? How do y'all pronounce it? Selah? Selah. S-E-L-A-H, as it is in the Scriptures, correct? Okay, so let's go look at this word. And they work together in harmony. is Strong's H5542. It's a technical musical term, probably showing a sinuation, a pause, or an interruption. A sinuation is the act of emphasizing a particular feature of something or making something more noticeable, or an instance of this. A sinuation when reading poetry is very important. In music, it's considered an interlude. When you have an interlude in music, it gives the vocalist a chance to take a breath and pause and think. A shield in battle is used for a pause. If you think about it, a shield in battle is used for a pause. Shemar is to guard and to keep. A pause before we speak. Salah. Samak is a circle of endless life and is a shield of protection to grab hold of. And it's the other letter, is the letter Lamed. Lamed is the highest standing letter and represents King of Kings, teaching and learning. And Hey, again, is to behold. Yehovah is our shield we grab hold of and reflect on. Salah, to pause and reflect. Think about my shield in battle that is teaching me to pause and think on His word before I make another move or speak another word. Be careful to listen to His call, His voice. There's many times in the day that you're going to come across something that's going to try and twist or make you make the wrong move. You're going to have to pause. And you're going to have to sakah. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to be very careful before you speak. Remember, Brother Scott talked about that this week. Be careful before you speak, because you might speak something that's damaging that can hurt you and somebody else. You've got to be very careful, because you can't get them back once you let them go. It's cause and effect. So remember Salah this week. Remember Sakai in your reading. You're reading and reading and reading. And that's what we've been doing, these Torah portions. Pastor's been bringing the Torah portion. We'll sit there and we'll read a little bit and pause and reflect on it. Sakai, meditate, and reflect. And remember, what we behold is what we become. If we sit in the TV and we watch it 24 hours a day, all day long, on worldly stuff, it's going to reflect on you. That's what your mind's going to be taking in a lot of. If we're taking in His word a lot, reflecting on His word, it says, meditate day and night. And it says, oh, how I love your Torah. It is my sakah all day long. I'm constantly thinking and meditating so I can reflect. It's for my life. It's for your life. It's for our life. It's to sustain us. It's to keep us shielded, to take that pause, Salah, and meditate. So it's Torah, my Sakai, meditation, reflection, and prayer. It's Torah, the Sakai. It's to chew, taste, and dividing the right from wrong as I look and behold Him as in a reflection. And then once you know that, that's only read or learned just one time, at one time sitting. How many know that after a couple of days you don't go back and look at that or remember that? It can go away. So you got to try and remember that every day. What is this? And it takes time. It took time for us to learn Shema, to hear and obey and do. Shemar, to guard and keep. First time I heard that, the next time I was like, I couldn't remember it. It takes some time, reflecting. And then you start seeing His character, what He's like, His likes, and His dislikes. And that's why Yeshua said, if you've seen me, you've seen Him, because I'm reflecting Him. You do as I do, is doing as He does. It's His likes and His dislikes. Let's look at Psalms. Let's salah a little bit and sakah on Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. You know, one of my brothers was talking about this the other day. He says a nugget. I said, this isn't a nugget. This is a gold mine. This is a lot needed. Because for them to be sustained in Yehovah, they had to keep giving it to their children, giving it to their children, keep teaching it to their children, generation after generation after generation. We see all the generations that didn't listen and died out, but there was always a remnant. If it wasn't for a remnant, we wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for a remnant, Yeshua wouldn't have never been. It just, every remnant that stayed, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, and we're going to get in to, what's the next one? It's Joshua, Yehoshua. I keep trying to remember their Hebrew names, and I forget because you're trying to remember, you know. So let's go to Psalms chapter 78. This is some good stuff right here. This is really good. My people, give ear to my Torah. Incline your ears towards my mouth. I open my mouth in a parable. I utter riddles of old, which we have heard and known, for our forefathers have related them to us. Who related it to him? His forefathers. His forefathers. We do not hide them from their children, relating to the generation to come the praises of Yehovah and his strength and his wonders, which he has done. They're remembering everything he done. Remember, we're talking about this when they're leaving. They said, remember, we're going to tell our children who took us out of here and what happened for us to get where we are today. Yehovah did these things. It is he that did this. For he raised the witness to Jacob and set a Torah in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach them to their children, that it might be known to a generation to come, to children who would be born, to rise up and relate it to their children. That will be to their children, then to us today, and to our children, that it might be known to a generation to come. He was talking about a generation to come, to children who would be born, to rise up and relate them to their children and their children's children, and place their trust in Elohim and not forget the works of El, but watch over his commands, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation which did not prepare its heart. We're talking about the heart of Pharaoh and the heart of Israel, whose spirit was not steadfast to El. The children of Ephraim armed bowmen. They turned back in the day of battle. Let's allow and pause, think about that for a minute. They turned back in the day of battle. You know how easy it is to get in the middle of a battle and say, you know what, I can't take this no more, I quit. It's easy to do that. They quit right in the middle of a battle. That's what it says. The children of Ephraim armed bowmen, turned back in the day of battle. They did not guard the covenant of Elohim. And they refused to walk in the Torah. When Moshe, when he gets to that waters, and it looks like they're done for, he listened to the commands. He did what Yehovah said. And they made it through. What happened to the ones who reject the Torah? It comes against life. They were all washed out. They were destroyed. They were coming against life. They forgot his deeds and his wonders, which he has shown them. How many times he says over and over, do not forget, remember, do not forget. This is for your life, this is for your life, this is for your life. They forgot his deeds and his wonders, which he had shown them. He did wonders in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Mishrim, in the field of Zon. He split the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. And what are we doing tonight? We're going back, and we're remembering, and we're doing it in front of our children. We're teaching our children. This is for our life. And led them with the cloud by day and a fire by night. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He made them drink as from great depths, and brought forth streams from the rock and caused waters to come down as rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And they tried El in their heart by asking food according to their desire. You got to be careful of what you're doing when it comes to desire, rather than just giving Him thanks for what you got sometimes. You want more, and you want more. You get into the flesh sometimes. Sometimes you get a little bit more, and it'll overwhelm you. It says, and they tried El in their heart by asking food according to their desire. And they spoke against Elohim, and they said, is El able to set a table in the wilderness? After everything He just done and showed them, they still wanting something else. We need this now, and we need that now. He says, is El able to set a table in the wilderness? Look, He struck the rocks so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Is He able to give bread also? Will He provide meat for His people? Therefore Yehovah heard, and He was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and displeasure also came against Israel. Remember how He interchanges the names there. Because they did not believe in Elohim, neither did they trust in His deliverance. Yet He had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of the heavens, and He rained down manna on them to eat. And He gave them grain of the heavens. Men ate bread of the mighty. He sent them provisions to satisfaction. He made an east wind blow in the heavens, and by His power He brought in the south wind. And He rained meat on them like the dust, and winged birds like the sand of the seas. That's a lot of birds, and that's a lot of meat. And let them fall in the midst of the camp all around His dwelling place. So they ate and were completely satisfied, for He brought them what they desired. They had not turned away from their desire. Their food was still in their mouths when the wrath of Elohim came against them, and He killed among their fat ones, and He struck down the choice ones of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wonders. So He ended their days in a breath, and in their years in trouble. When He killed them, they sought Him, and they returned and did earnestly seek El. And they remembered that Elohim was their rock, and the Most High El, their Redeemer. But they flattered Him with their mouth, and they lied to Him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with Him. They were always leaning towards something else. It says, for their heart was not steadfast with Him. And they were not true to His covenant. They broke the covenant. But He, the compassionate one, pardoned their crookednesses and did not destroy them. There's that mercy again. They should have been destroyed, right? He said, and He did not destroy them. And many a time He turned His displeasure away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breath that does not return. And when I was reading this, I said, Father, I should have been destroyed a long time ago. I thank You for Your mercy on me when I rebelled against You, and remember that I'm just flesh. And I know there comes a point I got to learn sooner or later. You know, Pastor talked about those dark strings. You can't have one of them, because one of them is going to pull you back in the wrong direction. It gets to where you start getting squeezed so much you just have no choice, but you're going to have to make a decision. Remember the word, the letter Ket? There's a dividing line. You got to stay in the house to be protected. And the enemy's going to keep throwing the stones and keep screaming and hollering at you, but don't go outside. You stay in the house. There comes a point we have to stay in the house. You can't go outside. You can't go beyond what He says. And you know, I've done it many times in my life, and I still work on that, where He said you can't even ride close to the line. You got to stay away from that, because it's too tempting. Too tempting to do wrong. You got to stay away from the line. You got to get way, way in. You got to get in deep. How often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. And again they tried El and provoked the set apart one of Israel. They did not remember His hand the day when He redeemed them from the adversary. How He worked His signs in Mishrim and His wonders in the field of Tzon. He turned their rivers into blood, and they could not drink their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies. So we're way over here in Shemot, and after we learn all of this, He's going to give us this, and Psalms to read. As we read on, he's going to remind us over and over and over. Don't forget. Don't forget. This is what I did. Because remember, the lies in the world is full of deception. And it's full of lies. How many times a day we got to meditate? All the day long. I go up to my dogs in the morning after I come back off a fishing trip. And I think about they've been in those kennels out there. You know, I got a little bit of room to play around. But they don't get to see too many people for a while. And when I come there, I say, all the day long, all the day long. And they jumping, and let them out. And they're all over them. And they're just so excited to see me. And that was before I read this. And when I read this, I'm like, man, he's all the day long. He's my study. He's my meditation. He's my sakai all the day long. And the Father's like, yep, you need to stick with me all the day long. All the day long. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. And remember, now, at one time, we didn't know that those frogs and all those things were related to a god with Pharaoh. And now that we know, we see what they related to. And everything that they worshipped came against them. So if there's something in this world that we're worshiping, sooner or later, it's going to come against us. If we're trying to stay in Yehovah, it just doesn't work. It doesn't mix. He says, and gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. And gave their beasts over to hail and their livestock to bolts of fire. He sent on them the burning of his displeasure, wrath, and rage, and distress, a deputation of messengers of evils. He made a path for his displeasure. He did not spare their being from death, but gave their life over to the plague. And he struck all the firstborn of Mishraim, the firstfruits of strength in the tents of Ham. Then made his own people go forth like sheep, and led them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, and they did not fear, but the sea covered their enemies. And he brought them to the border of the set apart place, this mountain which his right hand had gained, and drove out nations before them and allotted them a measured inheritance, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tried and rebelled against the Most High Elohim, and did not guard his witnesses. They turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a treacherous bow. For they enraged him with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When Elohim heard this, he was wroth and greatly despised Israel. And he left the dwelling place of Shiloh, the tent which he had set up among them. And he gave his strength into captivity, and his comeliness into the hand of the adversary. And he gave his people over to the sword, and he was wroth with his inheritance. His young men were consumed by fire, and his maidens were not praised. His priests fell by the sword, and their widows could not weep. Then Yehovah awoke as one asleep, as a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And he struck his adversaries backward. He put them to everlasting reproach. Then he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. But he chose the tribe of Yehuda, Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his set apart place like the heights, like the earth he founded it forever. And he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. Remember that? They were all looking at the wrong one. They were looking at the one with the strength and the wise. It was him sitting in a sheepfold, tending the sheep over there that Yehovah had picked. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He brought him in from tending the ewes to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and led them by the skill of his hands. And if we listen to him, Yeshua is the skill of his hands. We've got to listen to Yeshua. He's the skill of his hands and his strong right arm. So I just had to go over that and go back to the Torah portion, slide 61. So we've been going over history. We've been going over a little bit of language. We've had some context with Yeshua. We'll get into that a little bit later, but we're going to go slide 62. It says, the reason for me expanding on the clear and present dangers that many people face regarding the deceit of lawlessness and the threat of being handed over to the delusion is to let the example of the hardening hearts of Pharaoh, his servants, and others, which even included some of the Israelites, be a clear mirror, there's that word mirror, of warning to us against falling into the same trap due to a lack of true love for Elohim and the call for seeking first of his righteousness. So Yehovah shows us, if you do this, this is the witnesses, this is what's going to happen to you. But if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. So he gives us the clear warnings throughout all the Torah portions that we're learning in history. And we've got to go back and look at the language and put it in its context throughout the whole scripture. For a lack of true love for Elohim and the call for seeking first of his righteousness. Exodus 10:2. And this is what we talked about. We've got to give it to our children as they pass it on from their children to their children's children, from generation to generation, even those we read about in the book of Acts and the emissaries. And that you relate in the hearing of your son and your son's son what I have done in this dream and my signs which I have done among them, and you shall know that I am Yehovah. Verse 2. We are to recount the story of the Exodus and the plagues that Yehovah sent from generation to generation so that they know who the great I am is. And we are to speak his word to our sons and our sons till it penetrates their hearts to know Yehovah. In one of our other Torah portions, you see this great I am? We need to know that, the great I am. We learn the great I am's name when he said to Moshe, I am that I am. I'm the great I am. He said, let me see where I put in my notes right here. I remember it. It's Hayah. Hayah, Hava, Asher, Hayah, Hava. That's what it was. It was Hayah, Hava, Asher, Hayah, Hava. He's all existent, and I will be who I will be. I'm all existent, and I will be who I will be. I am Yehovah. And when you say Ahava, his love, and he also has that in there. Hayah, Hava, all existent, I will be who I will be. And that's enough for me. He will be who he will be. And everything I'm learning in him so far is like you just get closer and closer, one rung to the next, and then he gives you some understanding. But the longer you stay away, you stay in the same ways that you are, you don't get that. It's incredible whenever you get closer to him. It really is. When you stay studying and meditating and spending time with him, he's reflecting himself to you. You understand and rather question so many things sometimes. You just say, it's okay. That's all right. I'm learning. Thank you, Father. I'm learning. I am it. Great I am is, and we are to speak his word to our sons and our sons' sons till it penetrates their hearts to know Yehovah. We do well to learn from both those who oppose Yehovah as well as those who obey him. May we learn and to find ourselves being obedient. We are to relate and tell these events in the hearing of our children. And I'm telling you, as we're going through these Torah portions, my wife is schooling Casey, and I'm reading one thing on here, and she's sending me stuff. This is what we learned today. I'm like, oh my goodness, it matches in there. She went in the mirror this week, and she had to paint a portrait of her reflection of her face in the mirror, going over different things in the Torah portion, right? Wasn't that what you had to do this week? And so it reminded me of reflection and this word sakkah that I was going through. I was reading that and learning that at the same time she sent me that. I'm like, so when you're spending time meditating on his word, he's reflecting himself to you. Who did he do that? He did that with Moshe. We'll learn about that later on. We've learned it through the years. It was a face-to-face. There was a time Moshe needed Aharon. Now he's going up there later on. He's going to speak face-to-face with Yehovah. He's spending time with Yehovah. When he comes back, what his face was doing? It was like Adam and Eve in the garden. It was shining, bright. He was getting closer and closer, spending time one rung to the next rung. and it starts glowing. So he was spending a lot of time with Yehovah. And I'm pretty sure it had to be real disappointing to be spending that time and then come back. And everything he just got finished talking and saying, be patient and wait, they do opposite. It must be really heartbreaking when pastor comes in here and he's explaining something and he's our leader under Yeshua telling us something. You need to do this, 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 and this. It's very important that you do it in this order, this way, and this is how you do it. And you come back and people's not. It could get discouraging because you know what you need to be doing to get there. What I need to be doing to get there. And remember, you can find that in the Brit Hadishah where Yeshua said, and he gave prophets and teachers, preachers for the perfecting of the saints. So if you want to go read it, it's in there. That's what our master did for us. Set us up with great leaders. The Hebrew word that is translated here, let me make sure I'm in the right spot. Yeah, right here. Okay. This is hearing and paying attention. The Hebrew word that is translated here as hearing, we'll work on this word hearing in the language, comes from the root word ozen, Strong's H241, which means an ear, hear attentive, closely, and recite and reveal. Hebrew words are incredible. English is just one word. It's just one word. When you get to the Hebrew, you got all these meanings. And when you speak that one Hebrew word, it has those meanings in it. It's pretty incredible. And this comes from the primitive root verb, ozen. Ozen, Strong's H238, which means to give ear, listen, pay attention, perceived by ear. And while this also carries the meaning to listen and listen attentively, it literally means to cup the ear. In other words, give your complete attention and be obedient to take it all in. We are to relate these events in the hearing of our children, and this emphasizes how important it is to train up our children to have ears that hear attentively. That goes for us, not just our children. We got to get this. The Hebrew word that is translated here as relate is tespar, which comes from the root word safar, Strong's H5608, meaning to score. That means to make a mark, score. You know how you score something? Not like a score on a basketball game, but a score. You score. You mark as a tally. You record or you inscribe. You recount. You celebrate and you commune. I had to go over this and over this to let it sink in because it's so much to try to get to sink in. You got to keep going over and over to understand what he's getting at here when he talks about count and hearing. The root word is also translated as count. In our instruction to count 50 days to Shavuot. Remember, we count 50 days to Shavuot. Everything's important about counting. The root word safar, Strong's H5608, is used 161 times in the Tanakh. Also being translated in English as tell, told, number, tell me, declared, and numbering. The word safar, Strong's H5608, is the denominative root verb of the word sefar, Strong's H5612, which means a missive, document, writing, book, scroll, and letters, and is used to describe the book of the Torah. As we consider the clear importance of the commanded counting period to 50, from Matzah to Shavuot, we recognize how it is a great season that teaches us to continually be a counting people who daily count the cost of following our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua Messiah. And to be faithful in being a counting people, we need to realize that we cannot do this without the word of Elohim, as we are to meditate on His Torah day and night. Meditate and allow this sefer, or the book of the Torah, to lead us each and every day, relating it to our children too. In Joshua 1:8, It says, do not let this book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and act wisely. So your Torah is my, can you remember the word? Sikah. Your Torah is my sikah all the day long. I want to look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor be discouraged, for Yehovah, your Elohim, is with you wherever you go. So, in my daily walks with him, I say, okay, here I am. I'm obeying your commands. You say you'll be with me wherever I go. When I make a fudge, I stop and I repent, because I don't want him to be away with me, off wandering off somewhere so I can get lost and messed up. I repent immediately so my way can be prosperous and I can act wisely and make sure I'm doing the right thing. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it also says, and Yehoshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, prepare food for yourselves, for in 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan. Well, I'm not going to get into all that. I was going to, but it's just, that's way ahead. We're going to leave that alone. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, there's this word, It says this book. It says, do not let this book of the Torah, this book, that word book in the Hebrew, 85612, is Sifra or Sefer. And it's the same words we were just looking at. That's where you would find it at right there. If you go look in your Esword, and there's the word H5. It also relates to H5608 from properly writing the art or document or the letter or the register or the scroll. H5608, Sephar, is a primitive root properly to score with a mark as a tally or a record. It is a tally and is a record. So the Torah is our tally and our record. That's what we relate back to. That's our tally and that's our record. Our record. That's why Yeshua is called the chief cornerstone. We have to go back to the foundation. We have to go to the cornerstone. And where did he get it from? This right here. This is the word. These instructions are very important there for our life. Remember, we go to slide 73. If we do not count, we cannot be cleansed. To count means to reflect on where we are and repent of our sin. It reflects on us what we need to fix, what we need to correct. That's damaging to us. We need to fix it. The word Sephar, Strong's H5608, spelled right to left, is Samech, Pe, and Resh. Now, when we see these symbols as written in the ancient pictograph script, we get a wonderful picture of what it means to truly count the cost of being built up in righteousness. So when we go to Brit Hadishah, it says we got to count the cost, right? You don't know what count the cost really means until you go back and look up Hebrew meanings and history and what it says in the Torah. You're lost. It says, now when we see these symbols as written in the ancient pictograph script, we get a wonderful picture of what it means to truly count the cost of being built up in righteousness. The ancient form of the writing word count, relate, and tell is Sephar. Count, relate, and tell. You know, if we ever say we finished and we don't have a whole lot more to do, we're fooling ourselves. Just in Hebrew words, it takes hours sitting down, studying, and looking at it and its meaning and putting it in its place. And then you go back to the Brit HaDishah, and when you read that, you're like, That's what that means. That's where it's found. That's what he was talking about. It'd be like someone saying, hey, for you to make it to eternal life, here's your instructions. But oh, wait, before I give you instructions, let me tear half of them out. And just rip the book in half. Here's the ending of where you'll be and some of the things that you're going to experience when you get there, but you're going to have to learn the rest on your own. That's kind of crazy. You're going to have to make up stuff. You're going to come to a spot, okay, this is half of it, but I don't know how to get to the rest of that part. It doesn't make any sense at all. It says we got to have it all. All the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, correction, reproof. That's the only way we're going to be able to know how to count, know the times, the seasons, the days, the years, the Moedim, the Moez. We got at the ending of this Torah portion, it was talking about the Pesach and the festivals forever. This shall be remembered forever. You got to learn how to count. You got to know and remember because something's going to happen. It talked about the locusts. If you go to Revelations, it talks about locusts and it talks about things that's going to be destroying people that's filled with wrongness and crookedness, twisting the scriptures. Remember, he says in the scriptures clearly, he says, there's men that's going to come to me and say, hey, master, didn't we do this or that in your name? He's going to, I don't know you. Because there was no sakkah, reflecting, way back, finding out who I am. Remember? Psalmic, the ancient script, the letter pictured here is pierced and sharp. It's a shield and to grab hold of. The word of Elohim is sharper than a double-edged sword, and we find that we do not grab a hold of his word and allow his word to be our shield of faith. We may find ourselves being pierced through with the sin of compromise. See, it comes back. It comes back at us. The sins scourge us and hurt us, and he keeps trying and trying to help us if we just pay attention and listen. It says, we find ourselves being pierced through with sin and compromise. You can't compromise. Our praise we have for our master is that in him we're upheld forever, for he is the shield of our help, as he himself took the crown of thorns upon his head. What we deserved, he took upon his head. As he took on himself the crown of thorns upon his head, bearing our sin and shame, that we may be found to be shielded in him. It can also give a meaning of turning. For it is the thorn that turns us away from danger to that which is secure. There was thorn bushes put around the sheep to protect the sheep from the outside and protect them from going outside. Pei, this is the letter Pei, which is pictured as an open mouth and carries the meaning of speak, and blow, and scatter. It says, it can also mean a sword or a beard, as in things with edges. Do you know this beard? It represents a covering. It's like a covering. There's a lot to learn about a beard. It's not just because I want to wear it or not like it. There's a reason why he says, don't cut the edges of your beard. He said, because the pagans do that. They did that for the dead. So when I read that, I'm like, oh, I want to go ahead and grow up. Because I used to have different, but you know, there's just different things I used to read. But that's not to, you know, do that to anybody else in here or out there. I'm just reading what I read about beards. I'm just reading about beards. And so that's why I started wearing a beard, because I love what he loves. And I'm learning to hate what he hates and what he dislikes and what he likes. It can also mean a sword or a beard, as in things with edges, as well as a region in depicting a place with edges or boundaries. It also can represent that which has been spoken forth from the words of one's mouth as being established. The ancient script has this letter pictured as which is the head of a man, and it carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief, as it being the top of the body, the head of the tribe, and one who rules. It says, our true life of praise unto Yehovah, our head, begins when we fear him, for he is the beginning of our strength, and true separated praise entails a true fear of the one who is chief over us. When seeing the construct of this word for count in its ancient form, we have a clear picture of how cleansing entails true repentance through being able to correctly count and relate the truth to others. This ancient grouping of letters can carry various meanings for us in terms of being a people who count and who relate the truth of the word to our children, we realize that this can only be done when we grab hold of the word of the head. And you know, Yeshua is the head. He's the living Torah that we grab a hold of. And this picture in terms of counting teaches us that our shield and refuge is our head and master, who teaches us through His word to number our days, and we recognize the following. And we do that every day. Don't boast about tomorrow, for today has enough of its own. We take today. This is the day that He has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I can think at my best of what's going to come ahead, and He's no doubt going to have it already planned out and let me know and help me out every time. Many times it doesn't go the way I expect, and I'm wanting what I want, and the flesh wants what it wants, and it's got to sit back and say, okay, You know everything. I don't know everything. You got to help me out on this one, and I want to learn to be patient. I'm going to learn to be patient. I'm going to learn to be patient. And things happen when you learn to be patient. But when we're impatient, things get messed up. And I've learned that I've made some mess ups, and it takes me time to get back. And when you make a mess up, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. It's like you're climbing up the ladder. You make a mess up, and it's like you go down the ladder. You got to get back up, dust yourself off, and repent, and start back again. One wrong into the next. Not everybody's where somebody else is. Well, somebody might be up here, somebody might be way down here. They might have somebody like, hey T, you on my side, T? Remember Brother Scott for Shabbat? He said, hey T, you got my back, T? And she's smiling. Hey, she's where she is. She comes with a smile. That's T. She's part of the body. You know, she might not be up here or anywhere talking, but she's T, and we love T, and the Father loves T, and she's part of the body. The picture in terms of counting teaches us that our shield and refuge is in our head and master, who teaches us through His word to number our days and recognize the following. When we bring our sins, pictured by the thorn, and confess them with open mouth, Yeshua our Messiah, head of man, then He is the one who cleanses us. I had many a day as I said, Lord, I'm so sorry I made this mistake. Please let my robe be white again. Let my robe be white. Even though it's so full of red and scarlet, crimson, and dirty and messy, please cleanse it for me. I'm so sorry I made a mistake. So remember all those things as we go along. In our proper telling of the word to our children and others, we shall enable them to be caused to know that Yehovah is Elohim and Savior. The eighth plague saw Yehovah sending locusts, which is a clean insect, representing how Yehovah will cleanse the land from all wickedness. You see how it relates? The locusts represent, in one sense, the army of Yehovah bringing judgment upon the wicked and adulterous land. And that's why when you read Revelations and it talks about locusts, where did it come from? It comes from the Torah. It's right there. It talks about a cleansing period. It cleanses the land. And those who won't make up their mind, He keeps trying to tell us over and over, there's going to be a time you'll be drawn away. And you know, it was eating and drinking and having fun. Sometimes it looks like the opposite party is having fun. But when the door closed, Noah's day, when the door closed, it wasn't funny no more. When the rain started coming and started filling up to their nose, and there was no more trees to climb. Screaming and screaming, let us in. We saw, it's too late then. It's too late. And all that time to be getting with the Father and reflecting and find out who He is and who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. The locusts represent, in one sense, the army of Yehovah bringing judgment upon this wicked and adulterous land. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, it says, and Moshe and Aharon came unto Pharaoh and said to him, thus says Yehovah, Elohim of the Hebrews, till when shall you refuse to humble? That word ought to be put in bold letters for ourselves to remember. Till when shall you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they serve me, or else if you refuse to let my people go, see tomorrow I'm bringing locusts within your borders. So every god, including himself, Pharaoh, worshipped and came against them because it's an enemy. It's an opposition of eternal life. Anything that is a threat, remember we talked about that, anything that is a threat is going to come against it. And we talked about His mercy. The Torah, the words of Elohim, when He allows mercy to be removed, destruction comes on the things that threat against life. And in the end, anything pertaining to a threat to eternal life will be destroyed. That's what it says in Revelation. Yehovah doesn't purposely destroy. We learn that He loves with mercy, holding the destruction back as long as He can until one will make up their mind. And after, He judges the person will not change. He allows it to come. It just, He tries and He tries and He tries. He's a very loving and a very merciful God. In slide 82, chapter 10, verse 3. I think we just read that. And Moshe and Aharon came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says Jehovah, okay, let my people go and serve me." I think I just read that. In verse 3, Jehovah presented once again as the Elohim of the Hebrews. Hebrews. A lot of people ask me a lot of times, are y'all Seventh-day Adventists? Advents, however you say that word, Adventists? Are y'all this, are y'all that? And all I can relate to is remembering Abraham when he came out, Ibri. And Ibri is one who comes out from among them. I'm a Hebrew under Yeshua. I'm born again right now. I've been grafted in, but I'm not there till He returns all the way. I'm not blood-related Jew or Israelite or Hebrew, but I'm learning that through Him I can be. You know, Abraham was told and he came out according to his own will. That's what Abraham did, and that's what I'm learning, the things of my father like he did. And so He is Elohim of those who cross over. To have Yehovah as your Elohim, you must be a crossover, so to speak. One who had crossed over from darkness, ignorance, to light, knowledge of the truth. That's what Abraham did. He crossed over from ignorance to knowledge of the truth. Remember, he was destroying all his dad's pagan stuff. All those things, he was getting rid of them. He was mad at him, he hated him, he didn't like all that stuff. The Hebrew word that is translated as the Hebrews is the word Ibrim, which is the plural root word Ibri, Strong's H5680, which in English is Hebrew. It means the one from beyond, the one who crossed over, and comes from the root verb of R. H5674, which means to pass over, cross through, or cross over. I don't see anywhere in this word, Hebrew, Ibri, where it says he kind of stayed halfway in and stayed halfway out. Couldn't make up his mind. He decided, this is what I'm going to do. And by faith, it was counted to him as righteousness because he believed what Yehovah said. And what he believed from Yehovah, Yehovah does not speak no lie. When he speaks the truth. Who's the one when he speaks a lie? Is the father of his Hasatan. And all those of his resume, all the fallen ones, all those spirits, they twist the word and they make up lies. They take the very words that we speak today and call us the devils. That's what happened to them. And it's no joke. It's going to happen to you and I. He said, they did it to me. They're going to do it to you. So you better learn this, what I'm trying to tell you, for your map, for your learning and growing. Because they're going to come against you. And you might try to compromise and give in a little bit, and before you know it, you'll be gone. You go right with them and believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, your soul will be damned. That's what the scriptures clearly say. So it clearly means to pass over, cross over. Abraham was the first person to be called a Hebrew in Bereshit 14:13. He recognized this by his crossing over of the Euphrates River when leaving his father's house and going into the promised land at the call and instruction of Elohim. And one who had escaped came and informed Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Heskal and brother of Anna, and they had covenant with Abraham. All these examples are witnesses for us to cross over. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aharon, Shemuel, Eli. Look at Shemuel and Eli. What happened to Eli? Him and his sons. They all died. And they were warned. And they went through those things for rejecting and rebelling against Jehovah. They're a witness for us. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they're a witness to listen to Shemuel. What he said, hey, don't go listening to another man. I'll raise up one for you, but this is what's going to happen. You're going to go in prison. They're going to take all your wages. They're going to come against you with all these things. But Yehovah, Yehovah will take care of you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Elohim. All these witnesses from the beginning. Remember Cain and Abel, Cain and Havel? If you do what is right, it's examples for us. You have to decide. Is black or white, darkness, light, evil or good? We learn about this letter Chet. This letter Chet is a dividing line. It's one side or the other. It's a dividing line. Sooner or later, we got to choose. Not choosing is already a choice. Do you know not choosing is already a choice? We've already decided. Undecided is a choice. When you're undecided, you didn't say no. Undecided is a no. There's no such thing as I'm undecided. Maybe tomorrow. You done decided. Because it's either yea or it's nay. That's what Yehovah says. It's yea or it's nay. So you repent or you go ahead and just say, I'm undecided and I'm going to just take the risk of chance today. You done put yourself out. You're in a risk of being destroyed, lied to, twisted, deranged. You do what the master says and you're going to be all right. It may not go well what you like to do sometimes, but if he tells you to do it, we got to do it. In Yehoshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 21, we got time? What time is it?
We have about 25 minutes.
Okay. This is incredible. And Joshua, Yehoshua, gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. You remember that word Shechem? Now that you learn the word Shechem in the well, in the Torah portions, you see it when you get to this. I know I'm going a little ahead of myself, but I got to read this. And call for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, for their officers. And they presented themselves before Elohim. And Yehoshua said to all the people, thus says Jehovah of Israel, long ago your fathers dwelt beyond the river, the Terah, and Terah, the father of Abraham, remember Terah, or Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other mighty ones. Just got finished talking about that with Abraham. So I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and caused him to go through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his offspring and gave him Yitzhak. What is he doing right here? He's relating back to what happened and where we're going to the children. He says, and multiplied his offspring and gave him Yitzhak. And to Yitzhak I gave Jacob and Esau. And to Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Mishreim. Then I sent Moshe and Aharon and plagued Mishreim, as I did in their midst. And afterwards I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Mishreim, and you came to the sea. And the Mishreims pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Sea of Reeds. And they cried out to Yehovah, and he put thick darkness between you and the Mishrites, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. Your eyes saw what I did in Mishreim, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt among the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand, and you possessed their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And Balak, son of Zippor, sovereign of Moab, rose up and fought against Israel, and sent and called for Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you. But I refused to listen to Balaam. So he continued to bless you. He's reminding us of everything we've read already. And I delivered you out of his hand. And you passed over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the masters of Jericho, the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite and the Hewite, Jebusite, fought against you. But I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two sovereigns of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I gave you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. And you take this and you let this soak in. You let this soak in and think about where we are today and what he's telling us if we listen. And I'm going to give you lands, and I'm going to give you a place. Tell us everything, our future, our hope, and expect it in. And you're going to have eternal life, and you're going to live forever. And you shall not die. You live. Just as your Messiah lives, so shall you. But you got to go back. And remember what I told your children and your fathers and their children and your children to tell your children. And now fear Yehovah. Serve him in, there's that word, perfection. Perfection. And in what? Truth. He says serve him in perfection. We got to do something. We got to get perfected. and in truth. There's lies all over this earth that can pull us away from the truth. We got to know the truth, and then it'll set us free. We got to know the truth to be able to discern what voice we're listening to. There's many voices. How do you think Yeshua defended himself? He had to know the word, and he had to follow the same spirit that he listened to. He listened to the call, the voice of Yehovah. He listened to his spirit, the set-apart spirit. And the set-apart spirit, he says, I won't listen to anything else but what he says. And I will guide you in all the truth. And I'm going to announce to you what is to come. That's John 16:13. I'll announce to you what is to come. It says, and put away the mighty ones which your forefathers served beyond the river and the midstream, and serve Yehovah. And if it seems evil in your eyes to serve Yehovah, choose for yourselves this day whom you are going to serve, rather the mighty ones which your father served. See, he didn't say stay undecided. I might decide tomorrow. He said decide which one you want to serve, the mighty ones or me. Make a decision. But I, he says, in whose land you dwell, but I and my house, we serve Yeshua, Yeshua. Huh?
We serve Yehovah.
I said, but I and my house, we serve Yehovah. And that's what Yehoshua said. But I and my house, we serve Yehovah. And the people answered and said, far be it from us to forsake Yehovah to serve the other mighty ones. They made their decision. Clean slate. We make our decision today. This is our decision. Far be it from us to forsake Yehovah to serve other mighty ones. For Yehovah Elohim is he who has brought us out and our fathers up from out of the land of Mishraim, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs before our eyes and has guarded us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And Yehovah drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We too serve Yehovah, for he is our Elohim. Then Yehoshua said to the people, you are not able to serve Yehovah, for he is a set-apart Elohim. A jealous El is he. He does not bear with your transgression and with your sins. If you forsake Yehovah and shall serve mighty ones of a stranger, then he shall turn back and do you evil and consume you after he has been good to you. And the people said to Yehoshua, no, but we serve Yehovah. I was always told by my grandma, don't hang around with them certain people. They do drugs. If you get in that car with them, you might not do those drugs. But if they get pulled over, you going down with them. He says, if you go with them, you're going to get destroyed with them. That's why we can't be with them, act like them, talk with them, do those certain things, because we will be destroyed with them. That's what he said. Whose side are you on? You got to choose. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, we read in this Torah portion, it said, but against any of the children of Israel, no dog shall move its tongue against man or against beast, so that you know that Yehovah makes a clear distinction between Mishraim and Yisrael. See, the words of Yehovah are tested and tried. It's to withstand all the elements. It's indestructible and it's eternal. And after being tried, it stands as a clear distinction after all the elements come against us. That's why things come against us. It's to try us and test us, because his word is tried and tested to make sure it's true and stable. In the word of Elohim, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of Elohim is living. It is working. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting through even to dividing of being, spirit and joints of marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what we declare to the world through our walking in the righteousness of Messiah, by walking according to His Torah, is that we are Hebrews. That is, we are ones who have crossed over, so to speak, as Yehovah the Elohim of the Hebrews has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9, Sister Gloria got me on this one. For a long time, she used to announce this all the time with the kids. Remember that? All the time. That's why I remember. I could just hear Sister Gloria every time I read this. I just picture you. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, I thought about that darkness. A person that is in darkness cannot see. It's scary. But a person that can see, if I turn these lights off in here and I had some of that, those binoculars that you can see in the dark, I wouldn't be afraid of where I'm going, what I'm doing. I can see all y'all with that stuff. But y'all in the darkness, you don't know where you're at or where you're going. Who's the ones that should be afraid? The ones in the darkness or the ones that can see? You got to tell that to yourself sometimes. Hey, what are you afraid of? I shouldn't be afraid of men. I shouldn't be afraid of what man could do to me. I should be afraid of the one who could destroy anybody and everybody and everything. He's the one. He's the one we should respect and honor. He brought us out of the darkness into the light. If we're out of the darkness into the light, we ought to be able to see. So if we're not doing the things we're supposed to be doing, and we say we do, we're fooling and lying to ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. It says, our passing over, becoming a Hebrew, entails our ability to clearly listen, to do the commands of Elohim, to guard, and to do them. 1 John 1:1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked upon and handled with our hands. This is living Torah. And hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and announced to you that everlasting life, which was with the Father and has been manifested to us. Not only do we have the Torah, we have the living Torah, an eye example to see by faith of speaking and living and doing the things reflecting His Father as what we should supposed to be doing. We announce to you that we have seen and heard so that you too might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Yeshua Messiah. And we write this to you in order that your joy might be complete. And this is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that Elohim is what? He is light. And in Him, see, it's indestructible, it's eternal, and there's no darkness at all. None. That's what He's trying to work us to, continually getting the light in us. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and are not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us of the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we need to move on to perfection. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What's the point of everything that's being done with our Messiah and for us if we don't have anything to fix? My little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, a righteous one. And He Himself is an atoning offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for all the world, whosoever will. And by this we know that we know Him if we guard His commands. The one who says, I know Him, remember that part when we get together? And he says, I know you, but I don't know you? Knowing Him is important. By this we know, and that's in our private times at home. We're fooling ourselves if we don't do nothing at home. When we come here and we say that we do, we're a liar. Because we need to spend that time with Him. Spending that time with Him is getting to know Him. I know you and you know me. And this is how we know that we know Him, but guard His commands. The one who says, I know Him and does not guard His commands, a lie and the truth is not in him. But whoever guards His word, truly the love of Elohim has been perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Anyone can become a Hebrew, a one who crosses over, if they will but repent and forsake their worldly ways and walk in his Torah, being immersed in Yeshua Messiah, having crossed over from death to life. And when he pulled us out of the water drowning, he brought us from death to life. We owe it to Messiah. We owe it to him to do what he says. He's trying to help us. He's our help. I want to read one more thing here that was pretty incredible in the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 8, 26 through 40. It's a little bit, I know, but I got to read this. But a messenger of Yehovah spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south. Now there's a voice, there's a messenger speaking to Philip. How many know to listen is important? To pay attention to his voice and do what he says. I pray this all the time. I say, Father, I thank you, Father, for where I'm going, what I'm doing today. Listen and do what you say. It says, a messenger of Yehovah spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the way, which goes down from Jerusalem to Azah. And this is desert. It's a desert. He's telling Philip, go to the desert. All right? And he arose and went and saw a man of Cush, a eunuch of great authority on the Kedek, the sovereigns of Cushites, who was in charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Yeshayahu. What is he reading? He's reading the prophet Yeshayahu. This is left of Matthew. He's reading Yeshayahu and said, do you know what you're reading? And he said, how am I able unless someone guides me? He needs some help. And he called Philip near to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of right ruling. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about those times that we're going to be out there and things happen to us and we just got to be quiet. Sometimes you just don't say anything. He was on a cross. Yeshua was on a cross, having everything thrown at him, having feces, just mess thrown at him, everything done to him that you can possibly think of that's inhumane to a person. And he opened out his mouth and he allowed them to do it. And he's reading this. Philip knows this. And he's reading this to this eunuch. He says, in his humiliation, he was deprived of right ruling. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he opened out his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of right ruling. And who shall declare his generation? Because his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, about whom does the prophet say this, about himself or about some other? And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning at this scripture, brought to him the good news. Yeshua. And as they were going on the way, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what hinders me from being immersed? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, it is permitted. And he answered and said, I believe the Son of Elohim to be Yeshua the Messiah. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water and immersed him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of Yehovah caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went his way rejoicing. Philip, however, was found at Ashdod, and passing through, he brought the good news in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And that's what Philip was doing. He was given the good news as the Spirit would lead him to go. Wherever he told him to go, that's what he did. And he met up with that man right there and gave him Messiah that day. That's incredible. That is an incredible story. That's what they were doing. And he was talking about left of Matthew. He didn't say anything else that I read here. It was left of Matthew. It was left of Matthew. I'm way out of time. I can go on and on for about 2 more minutes. Brother Scott said, I can go on for an hour. He was here for all Friday and Shabbat. He said, boy, I got to be careful with my words. I said, I can go another hour here Friday night and Shabbat. So he said, man, I got to be careful with my words. Watch what you speak. Watch what you speak. So that's all I have. Meditating on his word. Anybody got anything?